Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Now, we get the privilege of hearing from one of my dear friends, somebody who always encourages me and who is fun to be around, and I know she hears God, so I'd like you all to welcome Kim Josar.
Okay, so if you didn't hear, I'm Kim Josar. Been going to Life Church for about 7 years, and I love it here. Love everybody here. And so before I start with my message, my little notebook thing here, I want to say a couple of things. Number one, a whole bunch of you, if not all of you, have been praying for my husband. Haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay, Chaz, man, you can stand up just for a second. Just stand. Yeah. We are so excited because he was given a clean bill of health. Actually, our daughter Abby, who's here too. Abby, where are you? Stand up, Abby. Stand up. I'm making all my kids stand up. That's Abby. So I don't get to do this very often, so I'm just going to do this. But so Abby was with us at every doctor appointment. She's kind of got that doctory thing on her. So when I didn't know what the doctor was saying, I'd look at her and she'd go, "He means this." So the great thing is Abby and I went to the very last appointment with him. They have a meeting with the doctor. And he says, I think his exact words were, "It's a far greater risk to continue chemotherapy than it would be then just to leave him alone." And we were like, okay, we got that. So thank you so much. So it doesn't happen very often, but most of my entire family is here. So everybody say hi. My grandson, Nash. I love him so much, he knows it. It's embarrassing. My grandson, Nash, is amazing. My granddaughter, Parker. My daughter, Tori. Hannah. Jay. My son-in-law, Abby. Jared. Bruna. Her mom, all the way from Brazil. Yeah. And Vali. And if I missed anybody, I'm sorry. Oh, and Maxie. Yeah. So everybody's here, and I'm really super excited. I love it that they're here. And the interesting thing is, the God thing is, I'm talking about generations. And the thing that I sent a text out about 2 or 3 weeks ago, just one little line text, "Hey, preaching at Life Church on the 17th, if you want to come, great." That was all I said. Look at it. I was so excited. I'm like, oh, okay, great. So anyways, thank you for praying for Chaz. Thank you for letting me indulge myself with my family, because obviously I love them dearly. So let me see if I can show you the very first picture, which is affecting. Let me see, I gotta turn this on. Did I get it on? Okay. So what I wanted to say was Alicia, I love her so much. So she called me and she sent me a text and she said, "Hey, I wanna make a slide for your message and tell me what you think of it." So she sent me this slide, and it had like lilacs and daisies and roses. I texted her, I go, no. I go, it just needs to be a little rougher. So she sent me that. So isn't that amazing? I'll take it, yeah. Okay. So if you know anything about me, my kids obviously know this, but everybody else, I'm an avid paper Bible fan.
Yeah.
Paper Bible, not electronic. So my little spiel on that is, when the whole grid goes down, I'll still have this. So, okay, that's all I want to say about that. So we're going to go through several scriptures, and that's not an unusual thing for me, but I want to start with 1 Corinthians 11. Let me see if this will work. There, nope, that's not it. That's okay. I'll go back to this one for a second because I'll do 1 Corinthians 11 myself. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Now, the scripture that I'm going to read to you in 1 Corinthians is multiple times throughout the New Testament, all over the place. This was Paul speaking, and he said, follow my example because I follow Christ. Does that sound arrogant or bold or prideful? It's none of those things. It's none of those things. It's confidence in who they are. It's confidence in who he is. So when I say to you, or when I say to any people that I know, follow me, because I follow Jesus. It's confidence in who I am. Okay? Okay, so one more. Here we go. Now I can do this one. Here we go. Whoops. There we go. They said point it back. There we go. Okay. First John, John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. I'm actually doing it in my Bible, so one of the things I've loved, I've been born again for 43 years, and one of the things I used to love was the sound of turning pages in your Bible, in your paper Bible. And the church where I went to the longest, at Family Church with Pastor Jeff, he would say, let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 5, and then you'd hear all these pages. And then he'd wait. So I'm just waiting until I stop hearing pages turn. And so I used to love that, so me too. So verses 7 and 8, verse 15. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So we've talked about this topic for weeks and weeks and weeks, haven't we? We've been talking about discipleship, leadership. I've got some other synonyms that I'm going to use. Mentoring, influencing. So hopefully today I'm going to put a little twist on it, and it'll meet you right where you're at. So what is a disciple, just for going back at it? Does everybody know what that is, a disciple? Anybody? Frankie? A learner? Okay, that's good. Anybody else?
Follower.
Follower, yep. That's it. That's the actual dictionary. Webster's dictionary says a disciplined follower of Jesus. So we're disciples. We're disciplined followers. We're not all willy-nilly. We're disciplined followers. Number two, a mentor. A mentor. The dictionary says a mentor is an advisor, a trainer, or a trusted teacher. Mentor. And finally, for all of my young peeps, an influencer. Influencer. Anybody have a description for that, Parker? No? Influencer. I'll tell you what the dictionary says. Promoting a product or service, then recommending or demonstrating how to use it. So you think we're influencers? You darn bet I am. I may not be on TikTok, but I'm an influencer. I'll prove it to you in a minute. Yeah? Okay, so for today, just bear in mind, these are just synonyms, so they'll all apply to today. So I'm going to get started here. So the first thing I'm going to do is show you some pictures. I love to do interaction stuff. So the very first picture looks like a grandpa. Anybody know who that is? Anybody? Close, not Reese Howell. Close. Anybody? Nope. Okay. This is F.F. Bosworth. So, most people will go like, who's that? And rightly so. He was born in 1877. As a young man, he was instantly healed of tuberculosis when a traveling Methodist Bible woman, this is what he had in his bio, a traveling Methodist Bible woman prayed for him. He was instantly healed. For the rest of his life, he became a witness to the healing power of Jesus, and he wrote a book called Christ the Healer. Some of you may have read it, and it's still in print today. 1877. What? Anybody know who that is? Some of you might know that's Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke. So Reinhard Bonnke was discipled, influenced, mentored by F.F. Bosworth. When you look up his testimony, he credits his walk with the Lord with F.F. Bosworth. So Bonnke was a German Pentecostal evangelist who got born again when he was a young kid, like I'm saying 13 to 17, somewhere in there. And he had a dream one night. And in this spiritual dream, he saw the nation of Africa, and the nation of Africa was covered with the blood of Jesus. And he said to Africa, I must go. Left when he was 19. Reinhard Bonnke died, I think, about 3 years ago. But as of his death, from when he was 19 till he died, 79 million people gave their lives to Jesus in Africa. 79 million people gave their lives to Jesus in Africa. That's amazing. That's somebody to learn from. That's somebody to testify about. That's somebody to get influenced by. Right? Yes?
I just looked it up. As of like a few weeks ago, I looked it up, it was 150 million.
150 million. Darn Google. Okay, so next. Here we go. Anybody know who that is? You may not.
Daniel
Kalenda. Daniel Kalenda literally was taken under the wing by Reinhard Bonnke, mentored for years and years and years. And as soon as Bonnke died, Daniel Kalenda took over Christ for the Nations. So Daniel Kalenda has gone into places that Bonnke has never been. He's gone into places that are like Sudan, places that are absolutely improbable for humans to go to. Okay, so keep going, stick with me here. Here's one you might recognize. Oh! Anybody know who that is? Jeff Perry. If you don't know who Jeff Perry is, I'm not saying you should, but he pastors one of the biggest churches in the St. Louis region. And the reason he's up there is because he was mentored and influenced by Reinhard Bonnke. And guess what? Boom! 21 years I sat under Jeff Perry. 21 years he influenced, he taught, he anointed, he discipled. 21 years I sat under that, and this is what happens. Now, do you think that Jeff Perry, Reinhard Bonnke, F.F. Bosworth ever thought of me? I doubt it. I doubt it. But I tell you what, after today, you're going to think of the generations beyond you. Yeah. You will think of what's coming up beyond you. Because our lives are so much bigger than this.
Right.
Than just this. Yeah. This just isn't enough. Okay. Let me do a couple more, if you don't mind. Indulge me. Somebody said this one. Oh, no. No, no, no. Somebody, who knows that one? It's Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon. Born in 1867. He was born to a really poor family in New York City. He grew up with a very small education. 17, he dedicated his life to Christ. He wrote numerous books. There's so much about Kenyon that you could find if you want to read about him. But look at that. Who is that? That's Kenneth Hagin. If you don't know who Kenneth Hagin is, I will pray for you. Kenneth Hagin was mentored by E.W. Kenyon. He was influenced in all that he did. Now, Kenneth Hagin is the father of the faith movement, 1960, 70, 80, 90. I mean, I could have my picture next to him. That guy had so much to do with my growth in the Lord. Kenneth Hagin. So guess who he mentored? Oh, Jeff Perry. Jeff Perry went to Kenneth Hagin's school. And then, of course, Jeff Perry taught me and influenced me. The reason I'm showing you these pictures is it's not to talk about, what I want you to see is there's connections to generations of people.
Right.
the people in the 1800s, and listen, I could stop at the 1800s, but I can tell you this. Paul the Apostle influenced me. Jesus of Nazareth influenced me. So these are just, I'm just telling you, this is what happens. One more. This, somebody said this, Reese. Who said Reese Howell? There you go. That's Reese. Anybody know who this is? I didn't put his young picture up, his older picture up here. Is it John G. Lake? That's not who I thought it was, so forget that one. Well, John, God bless you. I was going to say that's T.L. Osborne when he was young, but I was wrong. But the reason I showed you T.L. Osborne is because T.L. mentored this guy, Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland, out of all the people in all my life for all the years, 45 years, the very first cassette tape, young people, if you never heard of that little square little thing, first cassette tape my husband ever gave me when we were dating. I wasn't a Christian, and he wasn't. He said, listen to this, and it was Kenneth Copeland. And it changed my life, didn't it? Changed my life. I can't even tell you how much. This man right here, two people will know who he is. Hannah, do you know who that is? Chazman? It's Pastor Phil Thurmond. This is my pastor the first 4 years I was born again. That might not seem like a big deal, but this guy powerfully impacted my life. He taught me so much about faith and prayer and the word. And so, you know what? He's in obscurity, probably. I don't even know where he's a pastor at. But he affected my life. There we go. Look at that beauty. Yeah, that's my daughter, Hannah, with me. So I showed you these pictures because I want you to see that who you are, what you do, the words that came out today about reaching out to people. The people that we affect are so much bigger than we think, so much greater. So do you think that when, I said this earlier, but do you think that these men, unfortunately there's mostly all men here, there's a lot of women who were preachers, but all men, never took the time, I don't know that they got in the closet and prayed for the generations to come. I would bet they did. I would bet they did. I wonder if they ever thought of these girls. T23, will you guys stand up, please? Do you mind? Thank you. So, thank you. You guys can sit. I just wanted to embarrass you for a minute. So these girls are part of my, I've been teaching a young woman's Bible study for about 20 years. It's called T23, which is Titus 2, chapter 3, which means Titus 2, verse 3, which is, let the older women teach the younger women. And so I obey the commandment and I teach these girls. And why did I want to point them out? I didn't want to point them out to embarrass them, but I do want to brag on them a little bit. These girls show up week after week after week with their paper Bibles and their notebooks. They take copious notes. They ask wonderful questions, and they get involved all the time. Another thing that we do in this group is I don't force them, but I ask them about once every 4 to 6 weeks, one of them has to take the lead of the meeting. Why do I do that?
Train them up.
Yeah, I'm trying to train them. Right, because guess what? In 30 years, 40 years, I won't be here anymore. That's not morbid. That's truth. They will be here. And they'll be discipling. And they'll be influencing. And they'll be training people in righteousness. That's why I do it. And that's what's important. I know other people who have similar Bible studies. I know there's one with guys, young men, same exact thing, training them in righteousness. hitting them hard. Nobody needs fluff, I promise you. Nobody needs fluff. Okay, let's go on for just a minute. I was going to say this. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, I don't know if I have that, but I'll try. There it is. When I talk to these girls every day, whenever we're together, I don't expect them to be a carbon copy of me, but I expect them to imitate me. I want them to imitate me. So the reason I say to imitate me is because, first of all, it keeps my heart in line. It keeps me right with God. I don't want somebody looking at me that has to think, like, oh, I don't want to do that. But I want them to imitate me because they see something valuable that they can pass on to the next people. Is it so that somebody will have my picture in 150? I don't think anybody will remember in 150 years. I really don't. I don't think anybody's going to be remembering me. Well, you're very sweet. Let's look at why God is generational. If you've got your Bible, let's turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Verse 4, I'm going to read 4 and 5, I guess. It says, Psalm 145, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. One generation to another talks about Jesus, loves on Jesus, tells their grandchildren, which 4 of my grandchildren are here today. Tells them. The generations speak about it. Did you ever read Matthew chapter 1 and wonder what the heck that was in the Bible for? If you haven't read Matthew chapter 1, so everybody does a different Bible study, but I particularly read the New Testament every 40 days. It's just the way that I do it. I start in Matthew and I finish in Revelation every 40 days. So every 40 days I read Matthew chapter 1. And if you haven't read Matthew chapter 1, lucky you. So Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to try and see if I can find it really quick just to give you an idea if you don't know. Matthew chapter 1. I won't do the whole thing because it's really long, but here we go. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah. Judah was the father of Perez. Zerah, who was the mother of Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. This goes on and on and on. And I remember one time I was inquiring of the Lord when I was praying, and I said, why do I have to have that? And he said, because the generations matter to me. Right. And I was like, me too. me too. Me too, God. You know? So it's really important that we keep our focus on more than just what's going on right now. I want to switch for just a minute. If you remember about 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, Dean Boyer preached here. Y'all remember that day? It was very good. It was so anointed. But Dean told a story. This isn't his life banner, but he told a story about he was out and he ran into some of the Hell's Angels. What did he do? He did what I think is called instant, in season, and out. You know what he did? He preached the gospel to him and he left. That's what he did. He didn't stay there for hours begging him to believe Jesus, you know? He just preached the gospel and he left. And what I think about that is that he was influencing these men and women, if there were women there, he was influencing them to respond to the message of Jesus. Did he fret over it? I doubt if he thought of it ever again. Did you? Never thought about it ever again after he left. But he did what he was supposed to do. Now, have I ever been around the Hell's Angels? No. But if God put me there, I would expect me to be a voice, to say something, to be an influence. So what I want to say is that when you meet men and women who are in your path, in your sphere of influence, the people that I will never reach, the people that Randy will never reach, the people that Audrey will never reach. There's a lot of people that we can never reach, but it's your responsibility to affect those in your sphere,
right.
Okay? Do you have to preach the gospel to them? No. Just in case you're wondering and you're questioning, you don't have to preach the gospel to them, but you do have to be a light.
Yeah.
You have to be a light. So, also something else that Dean reminded us. Thank you, Dean. Our light matters. Your light matters. We affect those around us. Our light matters. So it's important. The Bible reminds us, it's in the Gospels, if you know where it's at, you can shout it out. Who lights a candle and sticks it under a bowl? Who lights a candle and puts it under the table? No. You put it on top of the table so that it spreads light in the whole room. And that's what we're called to do. Be light. So, one of the things I thought of when I was thinking of how do you do this, if you're not, you know, Dean Boyer, because he's amazing. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. So, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you are born again, do you possess these things? Yes, you do. There is no question. When you become born again and you receive the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, you possess love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. They're inside of you. So you go somewhere, you can bring joy with you. You can bring joy. You can bring peace into situations. Peace into situations. Oh.
Amen.
All right, I'll tell you a quick little story about peace. Although we've never been to a by with the Hells Angels, my husband and I were on a motorcycle trip with a bunch of other guys, and we went into this bar to have lunch in the middle of the day, and we're all just sitting around our table. There's probably 10 of us, and all of a sudden, a fight broke out at the bar. Two men, like full on, and all of a sudden, our whole table, we just started singing, Amazing Grace. And the whole bar went silent. And then they all started singing. They knew that song. So when you think you can't bring anything to a situation, we brought peace into that situation. We brought it in there with us. I mean, we weren't in for a fight, so. How about this? You can show kindness when it's not expected. When it's not expected of you. Sometimes, you know, you're expected to be kind to people. But how about when you pull up to a parking place and you're here and there's another car here and one's pulling out? Uh-oh. How do you be Jesus? Sometimes you just prefer others over yourself. You just wave at them. Go ahead, you can have it. God bless you, have it. Not like, go ahead, bro, take it. No, that's not kindness. That's not kindness, but you can be kind in situations where it's warranted. You can be faithful. How do you be faithful? You be a man or a woman of your word. You be honorable with what you say. You don't tell somebody one thing and then do another. This is why if you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you can say to people, follow my example.
Right.
Because I follow Jesus. So you don't do things that are going to be questionable in the gospel. Okay. One more. You can exhibit self-control.
Yes.
Even when you feel justified, to lose control. Because there's times you do. You just feel like it. But you can have self-control. The reason you have self-control, the reason you have self-control is because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. So he doesn't lose control. So, you ever get into a disagreement, argument, even conversation with someone? Just have a conversation. You get in your car and you go like, man, I could have said this. I could have said that. I knew, man, I should have told her. One time I was doing that in my car and I was just kind of going like, well, why didn't I think of that? And the Holy Spirit said to me, you're welcome. And I said, you're welcome? And he said, that was me, self-control, holding that back. And I said, thank you. Thank you. Okay, so I want to encourage you that the enemy will lie to you and tell you that you can't be effective because you're not a big Bible thumper. You know the reason people ask me this all the time. How do you know so much of the Bible? How do you know so much of the Bible? What do you think the answer is? I read it. For 43 years, I've been reading the same book. I guarantee you, if you read Gone with the Wind every 40 days for 40 years, you would know that book. So there's nothing magical about me. There's nothing magic in what I do. I read the Bible. I read it over and over and over and over and over. And it never gets boring. Never gets tiresome. Never gets like I'm going, okay, God. Because it's always something that he goes, did you see this? Did you see this? And I'm like, okay. So if you don't buy into the lie that you can't affect your sphere of influence. So where is your sphere of influence? Let's talk about that just for a minute. Could be your job. Could be the grocery store. Could be the gas station. Could be people that you know. Could be a little dinner party at your house. I mean, it could be so many things. You can affect your sphere of influence. Do you ever affect somebody just by a smile? Yeah. Just by a smile. You ever see somebody whose eyes are tortured and tormented? And they've got this look on their face. They're just so, and you give them a big old smile. It's going to be okay. I just want to encourage you, don't ever forget that. You can affect your sphere of influence. And so you can be a light in the darkness of one person's world. Do you have to change the whole world? It's another lie. Right. If you're not changing the whole world, you're not doing the gospel. That's what people try and tell you. If you're not over in Africa evangelizing 79 million people, you're not effective. If you are not, no, that's just not true. You don't have to change the whole world. You have to change one person. One person's life. One person's life. And you have no idea who that person is. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how amazing he is on the inside of you. I heard somebody teaching yesterday. This is a side note. Somebody I was listening to teaching and he said, it was a she. She said, you don't have to pray for more of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, yep. She said, the day that you received Jesus, you got 100% of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh man, that's good. I thought I knew that, but I guess I didn't. 100% of what you need is inside you right now, girls. 100% of what you need is inside you right now. So you're learning, you're growing, you're studying the Word of God. These girls are diligent studiers of the Bible. They are so good at it. They make me feel bad. Anyway, I want to go on to, I know we got to get moving here. Let me say this. Here's Tom's thing. Great, but how? How do I affect my sphere of influence? Number one, John, what do we do first?
Pray.
That's it. You have to have communication with your Father. You have to have communication. Prayer is just communication. It's nothing more. Prayer is just a conversation. It's nothing more. So I want you to pray first. So the best thing to do, I think the best thing to do, is to pray right when you get up. So I want to encourage you, if you read your Bible in the morning, take a minute. It literally will take you 1 minute. Father, I need you to use me today.
Yeah, right.
Today.
Good.
So it's a Sunday. I would be like, Lord, today, Sunday. Find somewhere. Find someone. Find something that I can do to help somebody. That I can be a light in the darkness of somebody else's world. That's 1 John 5:14. If you haven't written that down before, if you don't know that scripture, this is a foundational scripture. There it is. This should be a foundational scripture for your whole life.
Yeah. Right there.
This is the confidence that I have in approaching God. That if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, whatever I ask, I know that I have what I've asked of him.
Lord.
That should be in your gut. That should be your changer. Yeah. That's the word right there. You see that third word, fourth word? Confidence. It's not arrogance.
Amen.
It's not pride. It's confidence in who we are. Confidence. So confidence is a really important thing. And it's not confidence in myself. Because I promise you, you can ask Chaz, I labored over this message. Oh, like I'm just pacing and thinking, oh God, I don't know if this is it. I don't know if this is what you want me to share. I don't know if I'm going to say this right. How am I going to do this, Holy Spirit? Could you please help me? Could you please help me? And then he said, Kim, come on. You've prepared. You're ready. Let God do the rest. And I was like, this is the confidence that I have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, if we know that he hears us, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. Okay? Let's go. Trust him with the words to say. This is in Luke chapter 12. The Holy Spirit, who lives on the inside of you, as soon as you're born again, the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say.
Yeah.
Okay, have you ever, ever been talking to someone and suddenly you say some things and in your head you go, I didn't even know I knew that. I did not even know I knew that. And then the Holy Spirit will just say a bunch of stuff and I'll be like, wow, it's humbling, but it's true. He will give you the words to say, don't be worried. John told you earlier, don't worry. Don't worry. Trust God. He'll do it. One more thing I want you to do is speak it out. Use your mouth. Romans 4:17 says we call things that are not as though they are. You speak it out with your mouth. I don't have to change the whole world. I don't have to change the whole world. I have to affect one person. I have to do something that will be effective for the gospel. That's the great but how. Isaiah 6 says, I don't have it written down, but I know it says, who will I send? Who will I send? And then Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. That's me. I feel like that's me. In the book of Isaiah, it should be Kim, chapter 8. Here I am. Send me. And I want to do whatever he wants me to do. I want to be a blessing to people. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. So we're going to have some specific directed prayer. Specific directed prayer. I want you to come up If you would like to overcome obstacles in your faith, to overcome timidness or fear, if you want to become bolder in your faith, if you want to just be able to be a light wherever you're at, I'd like you guys to come up right now. Anybody who wants that, come up right now. We're going to pray for you. Yeah, and the worship team, please. So sorry, Heather. Please come up if that's what you guys are looking for. Overcome timidness, overcome fear, be in that place where the gospel can come out of you. You want to be an overcomer. Listen, this is what's important. This is what's important. Your submission to the Holy Spirit, your submission to God the Father, your submission to His will and not mine is what's important. Don't forget that. Above all else, the will of God is what you want in your life, and you want to be used by God. Amen? So the rest of you are out here. I'm going to pray with you while people are getting prayed for up here. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word this day, Lord. I thank you that this word goes deep into the soil of their hearts. It's good seed that'll bring forth good fruit. I thank you that it'll not get stolen by the birds. It'll not get stolen by the enemy, but it'll be a seed that brings forth much fruit in all of these people. In Jesus' name, Lord, your will be done in them and through them. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.